I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rodriguez scores.
And then Suarez, fantastic from Barcelona. Arturo Vidal wheels away, gets a goal inside 2 minutes.
Hello, I'm Lindsay Hipgrave, and this is the Champions League podcast. Last night, Manuel Pellegrini's Manchester City were in Paris to face PSG in their first ever Champions League quarter-final. Elsewhere, Cristiano Ronaldo and Real Madrid travel to Lower Saxony to play Wolfsburg, one of the competition's surprise packages. Joining me for the best BT Sport insight and analysis were Gary Lineker, Rio Ferdinand, David Ginola, Shay Given, Owen Hargreaves, Howard Webb, Steve McManaman and Raphael Honigstein.
Big chance, De Bruyne, Manchester City have the away goal. Oh, it's a terrible mistake by Fernando. Well, that is an absolute catastrophe for Manchester City. Cavani's header.
I think that tonight is a good result for us because we draw here and we score 2 goals. But I think that we make a couple of important mistakes that allow them to score their first goal. And also, unfortunately for us, I think that the second goal was in a clear offside. We started very well. We went from the beginning to score goal because it's the way we play. We are not used to play to try to draw. We try to win the game from the beginning, but I said there was a couple of important things, the offside goal and some of our mistakes that doesn't allow us to win this game.
It's an excellent result for Manchester City, taking a draw back to the home ground and 2 away goals to boot. Gives them a great chance, you would have thought, to go through, but I think there's all to play for. Both sides making errors in this game, giving goals away. But in the end, Manchester City will be far more satisfied with that result than Paris Saint-Germain. And overall, it was quite a bizarre game in many ways, Rio, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of eventful scenes going on, different kind of errors from different players and both sides. But a result that definitely Manchester City will be delighted with, flying back to Manchester. They've got a really good chance now to put this tie to bed. But the quality in this game was lacking for me, I think. Any team watching this wouldn't have any worries about facing one of these two teams in the next round because the quality wasn't great, but a very good result for Manchester City.
And I suppose in many ways it was a gritty performance as well because, you know, to have that disappointment of giving away that ridiculous goal just before half-time, to come back and get a 2-2 draw shows good spirit.
Yeah, great character as well away from home and then to go 2-1 down as well to keep the spirits up to get back into the game. And before the game, you would have took 2-2 all day. It's a massive result for Man City. And obviously, I think there'll be favours now to go through to the semi-final, which will be special. David, David's not happy.
No, from a French perspective, you were very disappointed with Paris'
performance. I am, Gary. I am very disappointed because it's probably the first time this season I saw Paris being in difficulties in the middle of the park. Normally, they pass the ball forever. They keep the possession of the ball. They haven't passed the ball well. They lost too many balls in the middle of the park. They put themselves in trouble. You know, every time they were trying to create something, it was the wrong decision, wrong choice. So I haven't seen Paris for the entire season being so poor as a team. I was saying before the game that they were playing as a team, and tonight they were just desperate to find this sort of spirit within the team.
Do you think that's perhaps because the occasion, the quarter-final, a bit too much for them? Or perhaps they don't play top-class opposition week in, week out in the French League?
That's probably why Paris finds so many problems to play against teams like City. All year long, they play in the Ligue 1 against very small teams, very, I will not say average, but you have Paris above everyone.
And miles ahead.
So the stage and the quality is not quite there. So when you play in the Champions League, you expect to play against great players. And we have one of the display was Thiago Silva defending on Kun Agüero. It happened very rarely in Ligue 1 to have Thiago Silva that being kind of one player. Of the top class, world class core in the world. So I think Paris will need some more experience. But I have to say, well done, Man City. They're just fantastic. Mm. What a display from City. Mm. Away game, done really well.
Listen, and to go to Paris and score two goals and come away with a draw is a huge result. Let's not get away from that at all. It's just that the concerning thing is the naivety, on not just for Man City, for both teams. Yeah. If they're looking forward in this tournament and looking to progress and looking to get their hands on it, the naivety they show tonight, they cannot afford to do that against the top teams in the next round who are waiting for them, because they will be punished. Teams will score three and four goals, losing the ball in the centre of the pitch, then allowing teams to run onto your back four that we spoke about before the game. That happened countless times tonight. You can't afford to have that happen in games of this size. It's crazy.
The one thing you need is away goals, and they managed to get one reasonably early in the game with De Bruyne, who was excellent throughout the night.
Yeah, he came back at Bournemouth for the weekend and he's played again tonight, 70 minutes or whatever it was. And you just see his run here. He's kept it wide. He's made Luiz kept the width in the pitch, and he's, you know, it's not great defending. We said at half-time from Luiz, he's flicked a heel at it and it's poor from him, but... You know, it's great play from De Bruyne, kept the width of the pitch, and he's got a great finish on the end of it, and it's a fantastic start for Man City.
What was great is they won the ball and they were very, very direct and clinical on the counter-attack. Both goals came from winning the ball from Paris, taking the ball off them in the middle to area of the pitch, and then going straight for the jugular.
They were very quick on the counter-attack. Three passes, 50 yards, ball in the back of the net.
There was a lot of debate about the goal, the mad goal, just before half-time.
Yeah, because we are with a goalkeeper.
Yeah. I can't believe even Joe Hart's going to be blamed for this goal.
I just think that someone's got to come on this situation. You're in the 41st minute.
Yeah.
You've got to have play the ball and say, listen, OK, I trust my players and pass the ball. Yes, I think Fernando's in the wrong. He should play back to the goalkeeper, finish. Joe Hart should kick it. But I think at the same time, Joe Hart maybe has got to come on the situation and say, listen, 41st minute, everyone get up the pitch.
Yeah, it's
and then keep the ball, keep the ball
game management. Game management. There's 41 minutes gone. We're 1-0 up away from home. Of course, I get that. But at the same time, you're passing it to a centre midfielder in the quarter final of the Champions League. You should give it back to you. Give it to Otamendi.
If he can't deal with that, he shouldn't be wearing a Manchester City in a quarter final.
Awful time to concede, but they come out into half time. They come out in the second half. They're hanging on okay, and then there's a goal. Now we think that Zlatan Ibrahimovic might be offside for this goal.
He is.
Ibrahimovic is standing in an offside position. He puts Joe Hart off. I think
the foot comes
up. His foot up. Definitely, he's interfering with play. And Joe parries it away. Fernandinho switches off as well, because his man taps it in from the rebound.
Yeah, I mean, I still think Joe Hart maybe would think when he watches his back he could do a bit better, but there's no doubt that Ibrahimovic does put him off.
But if Ibrahimovic's not there, I think Joe just catches it. He's put him off by flicking his foot up. And for that instance, he's clearly interfering with the play.
There's a lot of solidarity between goalkeepers, you know.
We
had a lot of arguments during the game, and he always taking, you know, the defense of John, and it is good. Well done.
He's like an old friend as well. Now, having said all that, they came back Manchester City from that, because at that point you're thinking, well, they could be in trouble if it goes 3-1 or 4-1. But this was a huge goal for them, wasn't it, Fernandinho?
Paris was in control. Mm. Normally, with Thiago Silva and those guys, they are in control most of the time.
Yeah.
Tonight, against Man City, I haven't seen is the worst display from the Parisian
defence. In the French League, they don't have to exert this much energy. Yeah. They don't get pressured like they do in the Champions League. That's the difference. They've got to switch it on, like a switch. It's difficult to just turn things on. Mm. Chill in Ligue 1 and then come into the Champions League and then switch it up.
Laurent Blanc decided tonight to play Aurier as a right full-back. Mm. I don't understand. He hasn't played for a month, the kid. And all of a sudden, he put him on the right wing. Come on. He hasn't played. And you play against Man City in the Champions League. I think you need the best players who are fit to play and face a situation like that.
The last time Pep Guardiola joined the club, they just won the Champions League. Could Manuel Pellegrini lead Manchester City to the Champions League and get the same situation once again for Pep?
I doubt it very much, but I think personality is a big word. Conceding at half-time, critical moment in the game, then going 2-1 down, and to come back and really take something from this game, two away goals, a draw, very good result. Very good evening's work for Manchester City.
I mean, they've got to defend better at home if they're going to get through still, haven't they? Because there'll be a threat on the counter-attack.
It's half-time in the tie, of course. There's still a lot to do. I mean, David mentioned before, PSG were very poor tonight, so they'll go to Manchester next week, play a lot better, you would imagine. And hopefully they've done enough tonight, Man City, but it's definitely not over yet.
Yeah. What is difficult when you draw 2-2 and you score two away goals is to think about the second leg at home. Are you going to play the game? Mm. Are you going to defend? Because you already qualified.
I suggest Manchester City shouldn't defend.
Or you attack to score one goal. I mean, this is a very tricky decision for a manager.
What did you think to Ibrahimovic's night? He had a kind of mixed bag, wasn't it, really?
Well, put it that way. It was a bad start. Yeah. Missed a penalty. Well, this one, I think normally he put the ball... He had some chances. I think on this occasion, he created a lot of chances. He has been unlucky tonight. Oof. Missed a penalty. It is a very, very bad night for him. Mm. But we can't say that he didn't try. No. He tried a lot tonight, but unfortunately, it didn't happen.
One of those nights for him. Now, the penalty incident early in the game, I mean, it didn't lead to a goal because we saw Hart saved it. But there's been one or two decisions we've debated tonight. This one seems to have split the opinion a bit.
Yeah, I think as a defender, you don't give the referee any opportunity to blow his whistle. And when you hang your leg out there, like the way Sanga did there, you leave yourself open for this kind of decision. And he creates a debate. When you're creating a debate,
it gives
the guy in the box and the attacking side the opportunity to hang his leg out there and to make contact and then create the opportunity for a penalty. I'll make Sagna at fault there, definitely.
I think he was very clever doing that because you can see on slow motion that his left leg is going under Sanya's leg. So it's very clever. But this is under the eyes of the referee, so it should have been,
I mean, some refs would give it and some would give Luiz a yellow card for diving. He could be sent off also, but we said before, Sanya's had a bad touch and then he's made a second mistake by sort of jumping into the challenge a little bit.
Right. Give the goalkeeper's union a chance to see it and give a bit of praise. Terrific save from Joe Hart from the penalty.
Yeah.
Chose the right way, moved quickly.
Yeah, I mean, Ibrahimovic, look, he's doing some time wasting here around behind the goal. Ibrahimovic shows he's human as well. You know, he's trying to put him off,
Interesting
of course.
Interesting tactics there from Joe. Go behind the net. Yeah. A little bit of laughing.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the refs haven't
messing about.
Have a drink.
He's trying to put him off, of course. And it just shows that Ibrahimovic is a human being after all. And, and he's missed it. But it's a fantastic save. You know, people say it's a good height and all that. But
I look forward
it's a great
I look
save.
Forward to Ibra's Instagram page where he says, how did you do the penalty? I didn't do
to
it
himself.
Very well. Yeah, he asked his own question. It's quite interesting. Yeah.
He's going to find an answer, a very nice answer towards him, saying, I normally hit the ball, smash the ball in the centre of the goal.
Charlotte's gone to ground, and the referee has given a penalty against Casemiro. Rodriguez scores, and set in for Maxi Arnold! It is a heavenly start to the tie for Wolfsburg!
How happy are you after that, Julian?
Yeah, really happy. We really enjoyed every minute of the game and, of course, the result is really, really good for us.
With the second game in Spain, was the plan to really attack tonight and give yourself the best possible chance?
Yeah, we know that we can play football, that we are not on the same level like Real, but I think the key was the fighting spirit today that we had on the pitch. And, I'm really proud of the team and hope that we can manage that. It's nearly the same game in the second leg of the quarterfinals again.
No one saw that coming, did they? What a night for Wolfsburg.
Well, it was a remarkable performance from Wolfsburg, but equally, Real Madrid, I mean, we saw signs of it against AS Rome, and to be fair, Wolfsburg punished them today. They were so poor defensively, Real Madrid. The back four were awful. They were all over the place, and Wolfsburg could have scored more.
How bad were they, Steve?
Oh, how long have we got? I thought they were woeful, I really did. From the highs of getting a good result on Saturday to really low lows tonight, I thought they were terrible. terrible. Defensively, the right back and the left back were just all over the place, and then coupled with Sergio Ramos and Pepe, looking as if they've never ever played together. I was astounded by how bad they were tonight. I really was, because I expected a real measured, calm performance from Real Madrid, and I expected them to win, but they never really made any chances as well. But I just thought it was terrible.
Rafa, the Wolves, eighth in the Bundesliga, they were really badly beaten on Friday by Leverkusen. How can they play like that in the Champions League and be so woeful in the league?
Well, that is the big question that they're asking themselves. Perhaps it's inevitable that when you make it into the Champions League that you're a little bit more concentrated on that, knowing this is the highlight of your season, highlight of many of these players' careers. You got Real Madrid, hard to raise yourself if you're in mid-table, week in, week out. And that is the big regret, I think, that after this game, they'll say, you know, exactly what you asked. They'll ask themselves, why can't we do this more often? Because this is more of the real Wolfsburg, of the side, hints of the side that we saw last year, who were by far the second best team in the Bundesliga. This year, they aren't with Dortmund. But we saw that they're a useful side when they turn it on.
How much credit do we have to give Dieter Hecking for his tactics tonight?
Well, everything worked out for him. He played without a centre-forward. That created a bit of space that they exploited so well. You would have probably looked at the fullbacks and their positioning, which is very undisciplined, to say the least. And a mobile player like Schürrle might have been better able to exploit it than Bastos, who's been out for the whole of the calendar year with a broken foot, probably not quite ready to play there yet. And even the introduction of Bruno Henrique, who's never started a game in his whole career, ahead of Max Kruse, a Germany international, paid off because he caused him a lot of problem with his unpredictability. I think he was also unpredictable to himself.
But even Guy de Foggy at the heart of midfield, Luis Gustavo, who would have thought they'd get the better of Modric and Casemiro and Kroos? I mean, remarkable.
Did you like Henrique's performance tonight, Owen?
I thought he was lively, but I thought he lacked a little bit of end product. I thought he got in terrific positions and didn't really maximise. As we said, it was 2-0. It probably could have been more if they took those opportunities. Mm.
How crucial was the decision that led to that first goal, Steve? It came from the penalty spot. Does Casemiro foul Schürrle here?
There must have been contact there, you presume, and then Schürrle has kicked the back of his own ankle. It looks as if it wasn't a penalty. So if there is a little slight bit of a touch, then it is a penalty. As I referred to the Alex Iwobi one at Barcelona, and I thought that was a penalty, even though there was only minimal contact by Mascherano. So I presume if the first one was a penalty, that one was a penalty.
Good penalty, though, from left-back Rodriguez.
Well, it gives him the eyes. I mean, he's terrific on free kicks and penalties. He's had a bit of a quiet season, actually. Last season, he was exceptional. He's one of the best left-backs in the Bundesliga.
Really, it was really important to score the first goal, though, wasn't it? You know, if Real Madrid would have scored the first goal, you would have effectively thought the two games, were over if they would have scored the first goal through, the Benzema miss or the Gareth Bale, you know, penalty that wasn't. So the fact that they got the impetus with that first goal. They really lifted them in the crowd, didn't they? And they thought, you know, we can really get at Real Madrid.
I mean, Real Madrid were awful defensively. I mean, we saw it against Roma. They were poor, but today they were dreadful again.
It looks as if they just go onto a field and just play whatever way they want. And the manager just must pray on the sidelines that they get it together, because it looks as if they just freestyle. They just play how they want. It's like, oh, this is, you know, really easy, this. When the right back goes, the left back goes. You see Marcelo closing down, walking out, hands behind his back. It just looks horrific.
How's this going to go down in Spain? I mean, what is...
Well, you can't blame the manager, because he's just said to the same team who played well at the Clásico the other day, you know, go out and do it again. I know he's changed the right back. I don't know why the right back was changed, because he was terrible tonight, Danilo. But the left back and Ramos and Pepe, who played well on Sunday, go out and turn in performances like that. I mean, oh, to be a manager.
You don't think they'll be putting any blame on Zidane?
Oh, they will, definitely.
Yeah, of course they will. The whole team should get absolutely lambasted in Spain. Of course they do. And the manager will take the hit. You can't have Super Zidane on the front page of a paper on a Sunday and then not say anything today.
But I think coaches, I mean, attacking players have freedom to go where they like and find space. Good players find space. Zidane knows that. He was one of those players. Defensively, that's where players need a little bit of structure, a little bit of organisation. As they said, as Maka was saying, Marcelo against Roma was all over the place. All he did, he was so out of position almost all game. And I think sometimes, just to say the fullbacks just drop
stay.
In, just stay and be organised. And because the two centre-backs as well,
they're
really
away from home
today.
In the quarter-finals of the Champions League. You just say to the defenders, actually, let's just stay today. We don't need to bomb forward. We don't need to score goals.
Especially
just
with the front three.
Yeah, we just don't need to concede. Let Ronaldo and Benzema and Bale and Toni Kroos, let them create. We will stay at home today and keep it zero. Yeah, they just went. He went, Danilo, and then Marcelo will go at the same time. And the space was all over the place.
Could have been very different, Rafa. Yeah. This is after about 4 minutes. Bale should have had a penalty here, do you think?
Probably, yes. It's very hard to see because they're coming together at the same time with the ball, and I think you can't really see it which contact comes first. You have to slow it down. Here you see it. Bale gets the ball, and then Luis Gustavo clatters into it.
It's a penalty.
Oh, it's a penalty.
If you see it that way, it is a penalty, but neither the ref nor the fifth official did.
And this was at 0-0.
Well, Benzema was, you know, Bale caused a threat at times, but Benzema, really good step over against Dante, and he went off injured. That's an incredible chance, and that was at 0-0. That would have completely changed the game. Such a great opportunity. Real Madrid only had 3 shots on target all game.
I mean the fact that the Bale penalty should have happened after 4 minutes, you will use it as an excuse, but that doesn't excuse the next 90 minutes after that, because they could have then gone on and, you know, turned those chances, made more chances and applied pressure, but they didn't. They literally down tools,
they
3
were
chances.
Woeful, weren't they?
They
Real Madrid.
Were terrible.
And if anything, Wolfsburg could have had more.
Could have been.
I tell you what I found really surprising is how little Real Madrid had on the bench. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Benzema goes off. These things can happen. You'd expect someone.
Pesce came on was so quiet.
To have a bit
it?
Of an impact. Yeah. Isco was quiet. James Rodriguez wasn't even brought on. Maybe he's not quite in form at the moment. That was frightening because the substitutions that Wolfsburg made had much bigger impact than the ones that Real Madrid made. That really shouldn't happen.
The last time Real Madrid came back from a first leg 2-0 deficit was in 1987. That was against Red Star Belgrade. Do you still make them favourites in the second leg?
No question. I just think they need to attack.
Score,
I think if they score, if they attack Real Madrid, that defence is awful. We even saw Roma. They had so many chances at the Bernabeu, which they didn't take. I think Wolfsburg will get chances. As Rafa said, Bastos is going to be back fit, be a good focal point for that attack. And Kuzu came off the bench and looked very good as well. So I think if Wolfsburg score, Real Madrid are out. Mm.
What will Wolfsburg's plan be then for the second leg, Steve?
Well, they just have to be very patient, very disciplined, because Real Madrid will attack and they will start to panic the longer the game goes on if they haven't scored. If Real Madrid go and score after 5 minutes, then they could be in trouble. But if it's 20 minutes and 25 minutes and the game's still 0-0, they will take more chances, Real Madrid. And you've seen how they play. Anybody who watches Real Madrid play at home know that they're not disciplined. They can't be disciplined.
So if you were Wolfsburg, wouldn't you attack them in the first 20 minutes?
You just go and attack the spaces where you know they'll be. Let Marcelo go and you go over there. Let Danilo go or whoever's going to play, whether I doubt he'll play after what you've seen his performance tonight, and just attack the spaces. Anybody who does the homework, whether it be Roma, whether it be the first leg tonight, knows that defensively they are all over the place.
What a game. That is going to be next Tuesday. Real Madrid 2-0 down going into that second leg next week at the Bernabeu. On Tuesday, Barcelona came from one goal down to beat 10-man Atletico Madrid and take a slender advantage to the Vicente Calderon Stadium next week. Meanwhile, Bayern Munich saw off Benfica to keep alive Pep Guardiola's dream of winning the Champions League with the Bavarian Giants before his move to Manchester. Here's more of the best bits with Ian Wright, Michael Owen, Trevor Francis, Thomas Hitzlsperger, Andy Brassel and Daryl Curry.
Here's Fernando Torres, and Torres punishes Barcelona. In towards Jordi Alba, and off Suarez, and the European champions are level, and Luis Suarez has another one just when they needed it most. Messi, and then Suarez, and then Alves, and then Suarez! Fantastic from Barcelona! A quality goal from the best side in Europe.
I think we could be a lot worse, but a lot better as well. If we don't get the red card, totally unfair for me. In my point of view, it's a striker, second foul, second yellow, second card. It's totally unfair. But we knew that's gonna happen. It's not easy play against Barcelona in Champions League. They are a club with a lot of history. It's really dangerous if they go out in this qualify. So we have to play against everybody and everything.
Barcelona have come from behind to beat Atletico. If Messi doesn't get you, Suarez will. If Neymar doesn't get you, Suarez will. 2-1 to Barcelona, and it's all set up beautifully for the second leg.
Yeah, it is. There's a great interest now in this. It's not over at all. But I think the Barca players, they'll know that they're playing against an experienced bunch of players who know how to get results and grind results. They've done it against them a couple of years ago and they'll be very wary. But it sets it up perfectly now. I think Barca second half, the game plan worked, pushed them back, spread the pitch, kept their width, and the two goals came from wide areas from Dani Alves, and it was a good way of playing and showing us how to play against 10 men. You do that. Sometimes you get against 10 men and you start getting greedy and being an individual and thinking you can do it, but you've got to play the ball quickly, push them back into their own box, very deep. That was one of the faults. I think they dropped too deep in the second half.
Very narrow.
You've got to be brave and stand your ground, but they wasn't.
Should Suarez have been on the field of play to score those goals?
No, he shouldn't.
Not a chance. I mean, you see the frustration. He hadn't really had a kick in the game. That's the Suarez that we've seen many a times in the past. And yeah. Listen, we all know he's a fantastic player. But when you're doing stuff like that, you've got to be punished. But that's the way he plays. He plays on the edge. This is the type of man he is, the type of person he is. And I think if you took that out of him, you're not getting the same guy. You're not getting the same player.
He's a magical centre-forward, though, despite that side, the ugly side, that rears its head ever and again.
And we see so many players like that. You know, you look at the great centre-forwards. Obviously, Wayne Rooney used to play right on the edge as well. Yeah. Costa at Chelsea, he's always on the edge. And I think to be a centre-forward and to be that hungry for goals and that... You know, if you don't get a kick for half an hour, you just get so mad, so crazy. And you can see him and he always teeters on the edge.
That,
well,
he did.
I didn't want to bite anyone, though.
Didn't do that on this particular occasion. The first half was less the story of Suarez as much as the story of Torres, wasn't it? He put them ahead first and foremost and then seemed to lose the plot.
Yeah, he was a disgrace, really, to his team. He'll be embarrassed. He's let them down. But here, the goal, Busquets, we spoke about before, he's got to come in and say, identify where the danger is. Mascherano could have come out as he was marking no one. But Piqué sees the danger early, takes a decision to come out, but leaves Dani Alves isolated. Once he does come out, Mascherano's got to get across, doesn't react quick enough. Torres does what he does best, is put the ball in the back of the net. It's a great pass. The weight of the pass was what made that goal. And the run, he just has to run into space.
But that's the problem, you don't get with them too much. You don't get to exploit Barcelona like that. Yeah. And I think if people got the opportunity to do that more and pass it quicker, they would be able to... really get into the deficiencies.
Getting the ball off them.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
Kind of thing. The Torres yellow card, Michael, what did you make of it?
I just thought he made a couple of shocking decisions. Yeah. Both yellow cards were with Barcelona players going absolutely nowhere. You do this in the last few seconds. If you're not on a yellow card, then, you know, just waste a bit of time. But both of them, you know, Barcelona got Barcelona where they want them. And, well... Rio used the word disgrace before. I mean, he's just let everybody down.
Yeah. The Twitterati, a lot of people saying that's a bit of a harsh yellow card, the second one.
No.
But you can't even afford to take that kind of chance when you've already had a yellow.
No, in today's football, that's a yellow card. And like you say, he's on a yellow already. Why give the referee the opportunity to even think about giving him a yellow card?
He almost needs a yellow card for stupidity.
Yeah, exactly. He's going that as a manager, you'd destroy him in a change room after because it's just let everybody down. The lads coming in will be looking at him thinking, thanks, mate. Mm. Cheers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't want to be playing against Barcelona with 10 men, do you?
Well, you don't. And what they were going to do and what they realised they should do is, like you said, they got the players wider. I saw Jordi Alba get wide, see Dani Alves, who set the two goals up wider. And Messi seemed to push on a little bit more and they just seemed to just really put the pressure on them. You saw how deep Atletico Madrid were and it was only going to be a matter of time.
Barcelona had a lot of chances, Michael.
They did, and I thought it was Barcelona's big chance to actually kill the tie. When it went down to 10 men, then they got two goals. Mm. Still quite a long time left in the game. I thought if they can nick another one and take it to three, then it might be all over.
So. I think what's great about this Barcelona team, when you watch them, they just continuously probe. They ask you questions. Are you physically ready to deal with us? Are you mentally ready to deal with us over a course of 90 minutes? You might have the first half where you look resilient and you do well, like this Atletico Madrid team did. But second half, can you keep that up? Yeah. That's all they do is probe. You've got to be a well-conditioned team to be able to deal with this.
Push them deeper and deeper. Yeah.
Especially with 10 men.
I tell you, probed a lot, Neymar. God, he went close so many times.
Yes, he did, and he was unlucky. I thought, like, the last time I've seen him live, a few times I've seen him live, he's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. I thought he was quite quiet for him today.
Who's going through?
I'm going Barcelona, going to go through.
I hope Barcelona. Everyone loves to see Barcelona, don't they?
Yeah.
I think Barcelona will go through, just.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Juan Bernat! What a start it is! Arturo Vidal wheels away, gets a goal inside 2 minutes.
Victor, what did you think after 2 minutes of that match?
Well, it was a very, very tough start, of course, but I think we came back strong after the goal, and they created some chances, but not like really, really good chances. So I think after the goal, it was tough, but we came back strong, I think.
In fact, defensively, you looked really well organised. I know there was compliments from Guardiola before the match, and your team lived up to that.
Yeah, well, we are always very focusing to do well defensively, and I think we did a good game today, and we work hard for each other, and I think that's one of the main things.
So much to discuss, because we all thought that Bayern would eventually see off Benfica tonight, but they started really well, Trevor, after just 2 minutes Vidal scoring, and then little else to bother about after that.
Well, we've seen on many occasions this season Bayern Munich in scintillating form. Tonight, for me, they were unimpressive. And I would think it's worrying times for Pep Guardiola, because it's not just tonight. I look at the last two league games, Eintracht Frankfurt, Cologne, both narrow 1-0 victories. Again tonight, they couldn't get more than the opening goal. And he'll be concerned. I think going to Lisbon, obviously the opposition have got to come out a little bit more in attack. So I think he'll feel they can get through, but these are worrying signs. They're not creating enough opportunities for a team that have got so much quality.
It's a very good point. They're far from hitting top gear at the moment, Thomas, and yet it didn't seem that way at the start because they scored so early in the game.
You know, we sat there saying this could be the beginning of a thrashing here, and the opposite was the case. You know, Benfica started to play as a team, good unit, and Bayern could hardly get past them.
Yeah, Benfica did recover really well from that, Andy, and into the second half of the game. Jonas, who we had discussed before the game, he's got a great goal-scoring record this season. He started creating chances and he maybe should have scored.
You'd expect Jonas to be a little bit more composed, as he might have been just afterwards, with, of course, the booking that rules him out of the second.
Well, that's part of the narrative on this night. All of a sudden, they've got to go back to Portugal, but they're playing without Jonas. How big an effect do you think that'll be on them, Thomas?
Of course, it's going to affect them massively, you know, because seeing the challenge here, he deserves to get booked, and that's why he's missing the second leg. And it's frustrating because you have your top striker there, scored 30 league goals, and that's why you want him in the second leg. And so he'll be out. It's a tough one here for Vitória in the second leg. What is he going to do? Because I think it has worked playing two strikers. Bayern didn't really do that well playing out there, and that's why I'm curious what he's going to do in the second leg.
Mitroglou started alongside him. He was taken off in the second half, but all of a sudden he's got a massive job on his hands for the second leg to lead the line. Maybe Jimenez might come in and play with them. Yeah. But it's a big loss, Jonas.
It is. But I think tonight it was all about, you know, the back four, the way that they defended. I mean, we all thought early on that having conceded that there would be a hatful of goals. But, you know, Benfica showed us that they know how to defend. Of course, at home, it's going to be a totally different game. And, you know, no two games are the same. And there were moments in this match, you know, when, you know, Bayern Munich, you thought, well, this is going to be the moment now when they're going to get the second goal. I mean, Lewandowski had an unbelievable opportunity. When you consider that this is a player that's got 36 goals this season, he and Müller, between them, have got, what, nearly 70 goals. They were so out of touch tonight.
But the defending was excellent overall. And I've mentioned this a couple of times tonight, but Pep Guardiola, Andy, had said that he thought Bayern were coming up against the best back four in Europe. It didn't seemed to be that way at the start of the game, but Jardel and young Lindelof in the central defence had a great game in the end.
That's right, of course. We saw Lindelof in the Euro under-21s winning them with Sweden last summer, but he's playing as a right-back then. This is someone who only made his debut in 2016, less than 3 months ago. But Jardel has really stepped up. He was a player who was thought of being not really good enough for Benfica a couple of years ago, but he's really grown into his role, especially in the absence of Luisão, who's their captain and leader.
Yeah, and Renato Sanchez had a great game as well, covered so much ground in that match. Towards the end of the game, though, all of a sudden a few spaces started. You mentioned the chances at the end of Lewandowski going through, but Frank Ribery before that as well fashioned a chance that was saved by Henderson.
Well, he gets the run of the ball here because he tries to dribble and actually succeeds, goes in between two defenders and he strikes for goal, and the keeper, Edison, makes a great save with his left foot. It doesn't matter how you stop them as long as you keep them out.
And it's just as well, because if it had been two, of course it's such a different game over there. But here's the Lewandowski one, Thomas.
I don't know what he was thinking there. I don't think he had a particularly good game. In fact, it was rather ordinary. And this just summed his performance up there. He's one-on-one with the keeper and he thinks about setting his teammate up there. Philipp Lahm making a really good run. Lewandowski's not offside. And I mean, he could have gone round the keeper, but he sees Lahm and makes a really poor pass and it stays 1-0.
I can't understand a player who's got 36 goals this season, why he would even consider passing that ball to a colleague.
Well, he had just had a bad game, and as I said, it summed up his performance. You know, he wasn't at his best.
Was there, wasn't it?
I mean, the keeper. Two thoughts on his mind.
Yeah, the keeper's come off his line, and there was so much space for him to take it around the keeper. Really surprising.
Thanks for listening to the Champions League podcast. We'll be back again next week for more of the best insight and analysis. See you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.